I am with Frankie Valadez, my old friend, executive director of the Chicago Metro History Education Center, and his friend and my new friend, Jake Little, a teacher at Lakeview Junior High School in Donner's Grove. He grew up in Midlothian. He spent some time in North Carolina, and he's been home for a while. History.
Well, that's a big topic, I think.
It is. That's why you guys are going to be on
for a whole hour.
I think,
right?
Well, I think it's not just a big topic, Frankie, but and as we've just been talking, Jake, in here, it's a crucial topic. You know, I was saying that, oh, you know, when budget cuts come, it's like, oh, we can get rid of art and music. What do those matter to human beings? I think they matter significantly and essentially. And then history is like, well, why do you need to know anything? You can Google it.
Well, I think that's part of why we love history in school so much, is that history allows you an opportunity to really dig into context and understand the stories of how things happen besides just a quick answer.
Yeah, yeah. Frankie, talk to me about the organization itself.
Sure. So like you said, it's the Chicago Metro History Education Center, but we're best known for running a program called the Chicago Metro History Fair, which has been around for almost 40 years. So this year is the 38th History Fair, including the pilot that was the first year in 1978. And it exists, the purpose of History Fair is to encourage students to do research on topics related to Chicago history. A lot of students these days don't get to do original research topics. I don't know how you learned history when you were in school, Rick, but I actually did History Fair when I was in high school. But in some of my other classes, though, or earlier on.
Well, see, I'm too old to have done right. History Fair in high school, sadly.
But you did it professionally, though.
Well, you know, one of the advantages I had, you know, was my father was a Chicago historian. He wrote a number of books about Chicago history. So I was always, from a young age, imbued with Chicago history. Wherever we went, anywhere, my father, I'll never forget the first time he told me, we lived in Old Town and a little further north on Clark Street was the old garage where the St. Valentine's Day massacre took place. You want to impress like an 8-year-old? That impressed me.
Right. You got dragged around all kinds of places all over the city.
Sure.
And were kind of introduced to what happened here and kind of put you in that context. You were learning history outside of the classroom.
Exactly.
Well, that's one of the things that History Fair does. So what I was going to say, you know, in a lot of history classes still, the model is to read the textbook or you listen to lectures and then you take a test. That's not particularly engaging for students. What works much better, and Jake's the professional, he'll tell you more about this, but when you give students the opportunity to form their own questions and study the things that they're interested in, which is what History Fair is all about, they get more engaged, they work harder, they learn more. It's meaningful to them, and it gets them beyond the classroom, outside the classroom walls, and out into the community, in libraries, archives, doing all kinds of really interesting things that are motivated by their own curiosity.
When is the History Fair?
Well, it's going on right now, actually. So in the fall, we had a lot of teachers and our own staff working, preparing for the year pretty much, a lot of workshops, professional development going on. Some students beginning to learn some of the basic skills about how to do research in preparation for doing their projects. And right now we're getting to the culmination. In fact, yesterday was the tip of the iceberg. It's the visible part of what happens in History Fair, where the students present their projects. Although they've been doing all of this work for a few months now already. So yesterday was the Suburban Fair, and I have to give thanks to Niles North High School, which has been hosting this every year for as long as I can remember, so for a long time. And so we had several hundred students at Niles North yesterday presenting
their
topics.
That's so encouraging to me. Several hundred
students, sure. These are, I don't have an exact number.
No, that's
so
a good number.
Yesterday,
I like several
hundred.
We
pack up all of our stuff, and then it sits in the van all weekend until we get back to the office, and then we start to go through it. But they presented their projects. These were high school students, all from suburban schools. They presented their projects yesterday. The best.
Do they work in teams or do they work
individually?
Some are
done individual. Some students do their projects as individuals. Others do them as in groups. And they can present them in one of five categories: papers, websites, performances, the exhibit boards that you've seen the traditional project, and then also through documentaries. So more students are doing. We're seeing a shift over the years away from the
technology.
Exhibit boards
technology.
Towards
technology.
Right the electronic communication media, in documentaries and in websites, a lot more of that these days.
Do you think, both of you, and you too, Jake, in this, that, that technology has, there'd be the common knee-jerk reaction that, oh man, technology is no good for this because it makes too easy access to research material that may be suspect, but it also, on the other hand, can make for much more interestingly created projects. What do you guys think about that thing? That crackpot Kogan theory?
Well, from the research component, I think the internet, like you said, it creates this slippery slope where it can very quickly become finding whatever you like online or using only one search engine to find all of their answers. But I think it also, if used properly in the classroom, you know, under our sort of an instruction and guidance with it, it really allows them to find all these great places and stories around the city. You know, I think this year was the first year we really encouraged the kids and brought students to the city to find great special collections and sit in special collections room and dig into these sources. So,
oh, how fun.
We use it more as a gateway to find these great resources and get wonderful things. So I think sometimes the initial reaction of kids is they want to use the internet and simplify their work and do it as quickly as possible.
But I want to print out this picture and put it on a piece of paper and then I'm
done.
You got
it. I think the motto we constantly use is do it right, just don't get it done. And I think the internet can be used very well to kind of get it right and find a bunch of really interesting things. So,
Frankie, you've got to agree with that theory.
Yeah, absolutely. Electronic media, Google, the internet, these are all really fantastic tools, but they're just tools. They don't really tell you what is quality. You certainly get a lot of quantity, but it's hard to tell what is quality. So among the things that we try to do in our office and with our staff, and I have to mention Lisa Oppenheim who directs the History Fair and really leads a lot of the professional development, doing programs that help teachers and students know how to do research well. In particular, so we have a workshop that she had developed with some other people in our office, I think, called Beyond Google. So it's not just doing your Google search and being done.
Perfect title.
But I think it was an inspired moment for her, I'm sure. But then to think about, well, what do you do past that? What other kinds of things do you do? And what can you find that is actually beyond Google? So maybe I find a citation or a finding aid for some sources, but I don't actually see the sources. I have to go somewhere to actually use them. And Jake was alluding to, I think, earlier in the year, we had a couple of workshops, which were called Coaching Paloozas, for students to come and do research on whatever their topic was. One was hosted by the Chicago Public Library, and another one was hosted by the University of Illinois at Chicago. We're really blessed to live in a city like Chicago with so many fantastic resources, many, many, many lifetimes of perhaps millions of lifetimes worth of resources to study that we can introduce teachers and students to. And those two institutions, among others, are really wonderful in opening their collections to students and making librarians available. The Chicago Public Library and the librarians there at the Harold Washington Library came in on their day off and volunteered that day. Probably they did at UIC too. I didn't hear that. I don't have that confirmed though, so I don't want to lie to you on the air. But they really do, in all seriousness, make extra special effort to make their collections available to teachers and students.
Well, because their lives are based on research, and if no one comes into libraries to do, that's what libraries are. They're not just to get books. Libraries are institutions of research. That's one of the great advantages of me, too, is I grew up, you know, four blocks from the Chicago Historical Society, which is now the Chicago History Museum. We're going to continue on after a short break with Frankie Valadez, the executive director of the Chicago Metro History Education Center, and Jake Little, teacher at Lakeview Junior High in Downers Grove. We'll be back.
Vai minha tristeza e diz a ela que sem ela não pode ser.
That again, Stan Getz and Yao Gilberto from a 1976 remastered CD. My guests are Frankie Valadez, the executive director of the Chicago Metro History Education Center, and Jake Little, teacher at Lakeview Junior High in Downers Grove. Jake, how did you get involved? I think this may explain to me again, because Frankie's been on this radio, my various radio shows for years. How did you hear about this organization, and then how did you get involved?
I went to the Illinois Conference on History, which is held in the fall in Springfield, and there was a presentation that was held by Luke Yaklich, who was a history teacher at the time at Joliet West, and he shared with the students and had kids come and share their projects and talked about what they had done. And it was an hour-long sort of introduction to what History Fair was. Coincidentally, then that Thursday was the History Fair kickoff. So I took off after school and went down and checked that out and fell in love and really this neat opportunity to bring back to my students and try with them. So,
wow. And how's that worked?
It's worked really well. It's, you know, I feel like I'm learning every year, and you always have to add different elements of what you're doing. And there's, you know, we were just speaking off the air about the kinds of different people that do that. And I never had formal history training. I'm a social studies teacher. I graduated with a social studies degree. So this has been, for me, a really fun education myself. I always loved history, but this has been a great way for me to dig in with the students and really learn and teach at the same time.
Do you think both of you, that's a really interesting point, Jake Little, that you always loved history, but the spark was not there. The spark and the place to sit by the fire of history wasn't, you hadn't found it till you found these guys, right?
Well, I think quite this way, to be able to bring kids to history and take kids out of the classroom and go explore history, and whether I'm with them taking them to places, whether they're going to historic sites on their own. And I have kids that set up their own interviews with historical figures and talk to people, and really neat stuff.
Wow.
So that all came through this and really discovering it down in Springfield a few years ago.
One of the things, both of you gentlemen, that occurs to me is that people, the forward push in this life is ridiculous to me. You know, the next new thing. But then you encounter something like Hamilton, which is playing on Broadway. That is, at the same time, the next hot, so hot you can't get a ticket. What is it about? Right?
What's the context? What's the story?
Yeah. And I'm sure that a show like that has turned hundreds, if not thousands, of people onto Alexander Hamilton.
It's made me want to go see the musical and dig more into the Federalist Papers and spend my hours doing that same thing, too. So I can't imagine what's done for somebody who's heard nothing about Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah. Frankie, what do you think about the Hamilton phenomenon? Because I think it's kind of what you do.
I think it's a fantastic way to inspire interest in these topics. I haven't seen it. I've heard snippets of the music that is part of the part
and
the of
the
show.
The music is very contemporary.
Absolutely. And I think as a way to engage students, and that's fantastic, and particularly if it helps them move beyond it. One thing that's really interesting is that what's going on there in the bits that I've heard are actual interpretation of these historical events, because clearly they're not standing up there reading the Federalist Papers. No,
that would not be a tough ticket to get. They have
colloquialized or otherwise kind of they've different words, different media, medium with which to express those ideas that are there in the Federalist Papers. That's serious historical interpretation.
No question.
They're using their brains to look at these documents that are 200 and some years old, and then to reinterpret them for a modern audience. That's fantastic work, and it's really exciting in the way that it helps us then understand what's going on in our lives today.
See, that's
as well.
The important thing, and I've always, this has been one of the crackpot Kogan philosophies, that you literally cannot understand what is going on in this country today without some serious historical knowledge. Do you both agree with that,
Yes, absolutely. I don't want to take political sides.
Go ahead.
About whatever is happening in the current election season, but absolutely. There are historical precedents for what happens when a Supreme Court justice leaves or dies, still on the bench, in an election year, or, 14 times there have been people appointed, but also approved by the Senate to take seats during election year. Now, every every year is a different historical context, different political context. There can be good reasons or bad reasons for opposing or promoting whatever is going to happen. But you shouldn't just take what anyone says about it on its own face value. You should go back and look and see what the history is. What was the context of Frank Murphy's appointment in 1940? George Washington appointed a Supreme Court justice in a year that when he stood for re-election.
Sure.
Why is it? How is it? And make your own interpretation. How is this year different? How is it the same? Is it something we should do now, or maybe we should wait? Have to be able to understand or be able to go and look and find what those historical precedents were to make an informed opinion about what's going on today.
Right. Because I think one of the problems now is we think an informed opinion comes from whatever Bill O'Reilly says or whatever, Chris Matthews says on Hardball. That's not history. They're not putting it in the context you think. Jake, kids get turned on to history. I mean, I'm not a teacher, but young people I have known who have come in here for one thing or another, talk to me about the history of newspapers or something. It is incredibly exciting for kids because I think it's been, why is that? Has it been not out of the classroom for so long, or has it been diminished somehow? What do you guys think about that?
Well, they find their passion with this project specifically. They're able to take what they like and what they enjoy, find something which has happened in the past that they can relate to. And especially for middle school students, they're developing their identity and sense of self. So as they're then digging into the history of jazz music or journalism or architecture and engineering, they're learning about all these great stories that took place here.
And they may indeed be stumbling upon their life's passion.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking someone, when I was in sixth or seventh grade, I wasn't sure what I might study. It might have been the Pony Express, and I'm not going to get a job in the Pony Express.
Someone just said this to me during the week. I happened to be in a meeting, they're redoing Navy Pier. And for some reason that I don't understand, I was invited to participate in some of these conversations.
Good.
And so thinking of ways that history and culture can be integrated into the new plan for Navy Pier, it's really exciting. But I met a woman there. Her name is Elena Gonzalez, and she's an independent scholar, but she's got her hands on a lot of cultural things. I hope she doesn't mind me mentioning her today. But I thought, what she said, I thought, God, she needs to be involved in History Fair. So I went and gave her my card and we started talking. And she says, History Fair is the reason that I'm doing what I do now. I did it when I was at Evanston Township High School.
No way.
And that's what set me on this path to do. And now I didn't get all the details because it was a very short conversation, but very soon we'll be following up with her and get her involved with History Fair. But this does happen. I hear this from time to time.
Now, History Fair, how many people, it begins, you just had something at in the suburbs, right, with a few hundred people.
That's right.
Is it a competition of
that's
sorts?
Right. That is the way the fair is structured as a competition. And part of the reason is some students are really motivated by the competition.
No question.
Jake, I'm sure she could give you more details about that. But so we're right at the high point of the fairs, and there are a couple coming up. And I do want to invite people to get involved.
Yeah, I want you to go. Yeah, that was a great thing. You can become a judge.
That's right. People can volunteer to be a judge. So if they go to our website,
which ChicagoHistoryFair.org.
That's right. And on the right-hand side of the page, there will be a button to volunteer as a judge. And you click on that, and that will take you to the page that has all the information. But people don't need to have any experience. We just want, if you're a generally responsible adult individual, you maybe have an interest in history. That can help. But you're definitely interested in education and student achievement. We're definitely happy to have people involved. Just click that link, and it has all of the dates. I will say that the next upcoming fair is Saturday after next, so March 12th at IIT, at the Illinois Institute of Technology.
And when does it all culminate?
So that's a kind of a harder question to answer. For some of the students that don't advance, that they have culminated.
Yeah, they're done. Yeah, they're so, you've culminated.
So after the City High School Fair, which is on Saturday, March 12th, then the Metro Final, so the best projects from the suburban and the city fair. There's a Metro Senior Finals Fair, which happens on Tuesday, April 5th at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And then there's a fair that Jake's students will participate in, the junior fair, just one for them. They don't get a playoff. That's on Saturday, April 9th at Lane Tech High School. Really excited to see how that traffic works out without the bridge.
Yeah, the Western Avenue Bridge.
Everyone will make it on time for that one. So, you better drive in early, Jake.
You bet.
You must have, and we're going to hear from one after the news, you must have so many different success stories. Even you, Jake, who have been doing this for how long?
Well, even only 5 years, I've got former students who are in high school.
Yeah.
And they'll reach out and email, and like Frank was relating to the current political election cycle, I have kids that email me and they're studying the pre-Civil War days and connecting things that are happening and talking about contextualized history and relating it. It's so cool to hear kids taking those lessons and building off it. And you see kids from all over the spectrum, our gifted kids really motivated by the competition, and kids who struggle day to day and aren't usually motivated, who love this thing and get really into it.
Let's call. We're going to, after the news, call one of the great success stories of the Chicago Metro History Education Center. Go to chicagohistoryfair.org and stay tuned.
Rosa Morena, onde vais, Morena Rosa?
That again, Stan Getz and Yao Gilberto from 1976, a remastered CD that is just, as you can hear, brilliant on every level. I'm having a great time here talking to Frank Valadez, the executive director of the Chicago Metro History Education Center, and Jake Little, a teacher at Lakeview Junior High in Downers Grove, about history and Chicago History Fair. Go to chicagohistoryfair.org, and you can help judge these their contests. And what intrigues me so much, I did one many years ago, is it a pre-iPhone. It was a grammar school, and it was pretty much, you know, just a board here and a thing here. These must be, Jake, tell me a couple of the projects your kids have done.
Well, you mentioned technology, and I think a lot of kids get excited about the websites and the documentaries because they can use their devices, they can use technology, and those are great. Some of my favorite stories are the kids that do performances. Those are where they have essentially a 10-minute window where they perform some aspect of history and their interpretation of their event.
Give me some examples of that. That sounds fascinating.
So
that's how Hamilton started.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
When you mention Hamilton, that's exactly what I think of. It is the greatest history fair performance of all time, apparently. So it sounds interesting to see. And so I had last year, I had a girl who by herself did a study of Florence Kelly and essentially performed not only words of Florence Kelly, but actually changed costume and portrayed children and women who Florence Kelly affected. And the theme last year was leadership and legacy. And there's a theme every year that sort of gives a different flavor to the research.
Instead
that
of
takes
a focus.
Place. You got it, yeah.
Focus
you got it.
To the thing.
And so last year her legacy was very clear and she performed that. It was pretty cool.
Wow. Wow.
Very cool to see kids get that excited about it.
Give me some others.
So we have, I had another performance a couple years ago, so I'm doing the same thing. I've had students build exhibits and dress up as Abe Lincoln, kids building websites. I have one student who's doing theirs on Flight 191, which, of course, terrible.
Oh, wow.
Airplane accident. And you open their website up, and the first thing you hear is the black box recording of the communication between
is
the tower and the
right?
pilots and
oh,
lost communication and the oh my God, and you go to
yeah.
the webpage. It's seeing kids build that kind of thing, that story, and create a story with their interpretations.
Well, because
a lot of fun.
And this new technology, it expresses, helps them express themselves as creative artists,
sure.
too. Do you know what I mean? Frank, using history as a base, and we're back to this whole Hamilton thing. We have a friend of yours on the phone, or a Dan, do we have her? Hello, Shakina Sims.
How's it going, Rick?
I'm Rick. You know, Mr. Valadez. Do you know our other new friend, Jake Little, from Downers Grove? You don't.
I actually don't know Jake, but I've been listening. So
oh,
I,
you have?
I like
oh,
to know Jake
good.
Eventually.
So you're right there, Frankie. Go ahead and talk. She's a grand success story of History Fair, is she not?
That's yeah, absolutely. She I met her 5 years ago, I think, when she had done a project and that qualified for the national competition.
Wow.
It was the first year she'd done History Fair, and I think she finished 13th in the nation, Shakina did. And then the next year, she decided 13th wasn't good enough. She needed to come back and do it again. She did a project, which this one I remember much better. It was a website. I talked about using technology on Harold Washington.
Oh.
And that one... she finished second in the nation. So she was one of the really one of the
wow.
top projects. And just to tell you how, so there are 15,000 students in the state of in
oh,
our
Shakina,
in,
you can in be our, so proud.
In our service area that do History Fair. This is so, and this is just the Chicago area. Now, this nationally, second in the nation in her category. And there are about 36 people achieve this level.
Shakina, where did you go to school?
I attended Ronville Scholastic Institute inside of DuSable High School.
Sure, sure, sure. And you grew, obviously, you grew up, did you live in Bronzeville? You grew your child in Bronzeville?
No, I actually grew up in the back of the yards neighborhood, but
yeah.
Now I live in Ashburn, so I was just commuting back and forth to school.
You live in Ashburn?
Yes.
Good. And where do you go to college?
I attended Connecticut College, and I graduated last month.
With a degree in what?
History.
Oh, you're going to teach? What are you going to do with a degree in history?
You know, I pursued history because I would actually like to run for office, and I think history is the most important subject to ground, like be a foundation before I actually run. So
I don't mean to get into politics, but I'd vote for you for mayor in a heartbeat Monday if I could. Oh, Monday if I could. Now, if you live in Ashburn, do you live near a school called Owen Academy? You must live near Owen at 83rd near Kedzie, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. A great dear friend of mine taught kindergarten there for 17 years, and I appreciate the teaching. What was it that first grabbed you about History Fair? You heard about it? A teacher said something about it? How did it initially grab you, Shakina Sims?
You know, I think first off, let me say that there are dozens of Chicago public schools that are underserved and under-resourced.
Oh, tell me about
and without
it.
Without History Fair, there would be so many students graduating from high school without ever writing a research paper, let alone learning how to develop a thesis. So History Fair was kind of that outlet for me to not only strengthen my research skills before I went to college, but also to learn about the beauty and the ugliness of a city that I've called home since a child. So Bronzeville, we did History Fair every year. Christian Machinsky, who I love dearly, who was my mentor, my former history teacher, and a dear friend, she put in work about History Fair for years before I even came to Bronzeville, and I respected her a lot, and I loved history at the same time. So that was something I wanted to take a part in because I know how much it meant to her.
Did Frankie? Did you say your project was about Harold Washington? What about Harold? That's a very interesting but also big topic to tackle. What was it about Harold?
That was definitely my first project that I did my junior year. And Harold Washington, I mean, as a black woman, I don't see too many African-American individuals running for office or in office. So that initially attracted me to the Harold Washington story. And as I learned more about the struggles he faced in the city council, the corruption, the Doliak 29, all of those different aspects of it, it was just fascinating. And that's kind of the time that really made me interested in politics, understanding why things work the way they do, and what role I can play in, kind of fixing that such an entrenched system. So Harold Washington was definitely, that project definitely sparked a few dreams for me, to say the least.
Well, the spark and inspire, too. I lived through all that, and there were a few people I've ever met in my life as inspiring as Harold, and you're right about all the stuff that he had to overcome, too. What are you doing now as you get ready for your political career?
I think what's most important is definitely doing work at the grassroots level. I would never run for office in a community that I haven't created a bond with. So right now, before I even think about running for any office, I do want to get my feet back on the ground in Chicago. I'm doing some political work right now. I'm doing some grassroots organizing, helping some students get registered to vote and learn about politics. So that's a lot of the things I'm doing now. And once I feel comfortable and with the what I've done in the community, then we'll start talking about what office I'll run for. But I do have my eye on a certain election date.
Well, Shakina, you can rest assured that you do have my vote too. If you, especially, if, I don't know if I'm going to move to Ashburn and vote for you for alderman first, but I'll certainly gotten my vote for mayor when you decide to do that. You do credit the whole History Fair experience with sort of firing your passion, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I brag about History Fair all the time. I still talk about it even at this point. I've even signed up to be a History Fair judge once that time comes around in next month. So I love it that much that I want to keep continuing to help out any way that I can.
Well, Shakina, I may be calling you in the next few days. I'd like to write a story about you, I think, but it'd be a very interesting way to write about History Fair, too, with someone as articulate and passionate as you are. Could I do that?
You know, that's an honor, so I'm
oh, it's
really
not, don't,
happy to hear
nah,
that.
Nah, you haven't really had an interview with me. It's not an honor, but it would be a real honor for me, I got to tell you. You are. I mean, and Frankie and Jake and I were just talking about the effect that this kind of thing can have. It can fire the imagination, and it can in many ways sort of set one on a path to the future, and I think you're a great example of that. Just the way you said, I said, "Would you graduate?" And you go, "Well, like you literally, it was so great. You're like I was an idiot." You go, "Well, history, Rick, history, history." Shakina, I can't wait to meet you in person. I'll give you a call this week, and we'll figure out a story to do that'll help get more people interested in History Fair too. Okay.
That is awesome.
No, it's
can I say one more thing, Rick?
Anything.
I don't want to take over your show, but I have one more thing I have to say. So I think besides the academic standpoint of History Fair, History Fair is like it's personal as well. So it was something about the success going through all of the rounds with History Fair. It made my family proud. My mom, my grandma, my uncle would watch me work for hours, and they cheered me on from start to finish. It created an inseparable bond with my former history teacher, Christian Machinsky, Frank Valdez, Lisa Oppenheim. They've been in my corner since day one, and I appreciate it. And I mean, even a few weeks ago, I reached out to George Galland and Justice Minor, two attorneys that work with Harold Washington, and I interviewed them almost 5 or 6 years ago, and we want to set up a time to have lunch or coffee. So these are the types of experiences that students can get out of History Fair. It's not even about research per se.
Yeah.
It's like it's the personal aspect and the personal growth that people can get. So if people want to donate to History Fair, please do so, because I'm just one of many success stories that can come out of History Fair. So,
well, amen to that, young lady. Amen to that. Shakina Sims, you will hear from me, and thank you so much for being so articulate and passionate about what we're talking about. So you'll hear from me. If you get a strange message on your machine, it's for me. It's for me. Okay?
Sounds good. Thank
okay,
you so
thank,
much.
Thank you so much. Thanks. We got to take a little break, and we'll come back and continue talking. Frank, that you guys, Frank Valdez and Jake Little, that's what it's all about. I can't, that was about as articulate and passionate, the greatest.
She's a living History Fair interprofession.
Yeah, she's a living History Fair poster, I'll tell you that. She's the poster girl. We'll be right back.
Eu vim da Bahia cantar. Eu vim da Bahia contar. Tanta coisa bonita que
once again, Stan Getz and Yao Gilberto from 1976. I am in here with Frank Valdez, the executive director of Chicago Metro History Education Center. Jake Little, a teacher at Lakeview Junior High in Downers Grove. Jake, your kids have got to love you, man.
You know, I'm not sometimes. They might not love you when they're finishing their projects up.
Yeah. but you seem to be, you're so passionate about all this.
It's, I've, I grew up in the suburbs and always had this, there wasn't a lot of history in Midlothian, Illinois. And I'm sure as an adult, I'd find some now, but there was no skyscrapers or stories of mobsters and great entrepreneurs. But so I always had this romantic relationship with the city and these great stories that took place here.
Sure.
So being able to share that with students and see them find their stories that they love and that they can't stop talking about. And I get emails and Instagram messages from them at all hours talking about what they've learned. And it's a lot of fun to see that passion grow with other kids too.
Yeah. Frank, you've been doing this for some time, and you don't ever, ever seem to get tired of it. I know, I'm just saying. I mean, it's how long have you been the executive director?
It's seven years. It's just been 7 years. Well, this month actually. It's funny that you say that because I was just thinking about how, for people who've been listening for the hour, and I'm sure there are millions. And they get to hear Jake and Shakina talk about History Fair and the passion, the excitement that they have about it. It's certainly that for me is motivation. I mean, every job can be a grind at times, but when I get to see students enthused about their projects, I see good projects. I meet parents who are excited about their students' experience. When I see the effort that teachers put into History Fair, which is definitely much more difficult to teach than simply, you know, using the textbook and giving quizzes. All of that takes a lot of effort and time, but when you see people excited about not only about history but also about learning and the relevance that it has to their lives, that is obviously motivation for me. And so it's I'm kind of thankful to you for having us on today because this is really exciting. It's been kind of a long week. We had to prepare for the fairs. I had some deadlines, and then we had the fair yesterday.
Yeah.
And now it's Sunday night, and I'm coming down here.
As you both know better than I. The problem with modern education, public education, is this incredible concentration on testing.
Right.
Which I think removes all kind of passion and, learn. It's what is, I've always maintained that the reason poetry is not like the hottest art form in the world is because of the way it's taught in schools. Memorize, 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 memorize. Don't take it out of the box. Don't visit where Al Capone grew up. You know what I mean?
Well, assessment is essential. I mean,
absolutely. No question. I'm not arguing against it.
But I want to make sure that people who are listening, you have to see where you stand and then figure out where you can grow. And
sure.
So assessment is essential.
Of course.
Now,
But my
view is that the way that we've tried to do assessment through standardized tests, it's actually a cheap way out. You just get a number without really as much formative or responsive kind of activity afterwards where you help people then grow beyond wherever you've assessed them to be at this time so that they can maximize, they can have the students can have their highest level of achievement that they want. I did want to mention that there seems to be shifting a little bit. So now here in Illinois, the Illinois State Board of Education last summer passed new standards for social studies for grades K through 12 that are going to take effect, I think, in 2017, 2018. The interesting thing about those new standards is that they have running through them a thread of inquiry, this inquiry approach in which students ask questions. It's built on that questioning model and then research to answer those questions. It's not just taking a test and having recall and comprehension necessarily, but about being able to ask and answer questions, critical thinking, and those kinds of historical thinking skills. Those are going to be more important, and so teachers are going to have to guide their students to learn that way more effectively so that they can meet those standards. And I think organizations like ours and then some other around the city as well, I think are going to have a great opportunity in a couple of years through programs like History Fair to not only inspire students and teachers like what you've heard about over the previous throughout this hour, but also to really help them be more effective in the classroom and help them meet that pragmatic end that they're going to have of meeting the standards and what the state requirements are.
And Jake, and just in knowing you in this 55 minutes or so that I've gotten to know you, I got to believe that this kind of thing is what fires your passion as a teacher. You don't want to go in and just, go through the rote with these kids, especially in junior high, where they're just, oh my God.
Well, it's definitely more personal. It's every year you've got new topics that I've never heard of. I never knew Chicago had a Women's World Fair in 1925 until this year. And so So, I've learned something new. And I'm
didn't know that till right now.
Yeah. So I'm learning that project with that student. So it's a lot of fun. And I can't get bored because there's new topics all the time and new stuff all the time. So, but that process where students, that constant loop of trying, failing, assessing themselves, and trying again, that's far more important than some of the other assessment measures we can do sometimes. And where kids, I have students who volunteer to bring their projects and show their peers and get feedback from all of us and then bring it home and redo it.
Oh, wow.
And before History Fair, I wouldn't have had kids do that with a research paper or any other assignment. So it's a great process to see them understand.
It's kind of almost a collaborative kind of
absolutely
thing.
It is. Absolutely.
I must think that in a place like Downers Grove, and I know a lot of nice people who live at Downers Grove, that the parents are more, perhaps, more actively involved than in some of Chicago's beaten-up neighborhoods, should I say. Is that a problem, Frank? Well, you can't associate with
yes. The socioeconomic problem. I mean, the answer to that question is yes, of course.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely it is. Not quite sure how to solve that problem. Actually, there are some organizations that, particularly the Menaki Foundation in recent years, has given us grants to specifically try to do more coaching in underserved areas. So there's some of that out there. Polk Brothers Foundation has been a generous funder, the McCormick Foundation. And very often those foundation that foundation funding has a particular program activity often to address the needs of underserved communities. Bronzeville, when you heard Shakina talk about her time at Bronzeville, at that time they were participating in a program with us that had been funded by the Fry Foundation. So it really helped us provide intensive service for the teachers in that school, which then resulted in really the positive outcomes from students like Shakina.
You guys are really fighting the good fight, boy, and the success is there. I mean, that's the thing. You're fighting the good fight, and you're winning.
Hey, I appreciate that. We're trying.
No, you really are trying. You're both really passionate about what you're doing and dealing with. My guests have been Frank Valadez. Do you like Frank or Frankie?
My female family members call me Frankie.
Right,
and burly steel workers. I don't talk back to either
group. I'll call you Frankie, too. Frankie Valadez, the executive director of the Chicago Metro History Education Center. Jake Little, a teacher at Lakeview Junior High in Downers Grove. You're teaching tomorrow. What time do you have to be at school?
I'll be there at 7:30. My projects are due tomorrow, so I'll be there nice and early as these things start rolling in.
And I'll probably be writing about the high school finals April 5th at UIC and using that lovely, inspiring woman, Shakina Sims, yeah.
And please do visit chicagohistoryfair.org.
Oh, absolutely.
To register to judge. And somewhere on there should be a video you can watch, which is also quite moving, and you can see Shakina in there.
Wow. You can judge. You can judge this thing. I may have to do that, you guys, because the last one I did, it was some time ago, and it was all like just poster boards. Now I'd love to see what the kids are doing that I can't do with iPhones.
If you appreciate kids really putting themselves out there and taking a risk and trying and digging and then putting themselves out there for anybody to judge them,
wow,
it's pretty cool to see.
That's great. You guys are totally cool. Again, Frankie Valadez, the executive director of the Chicago Metro History Education Center, and Jake Little, teacher at Lakeview Junior High in Downers Grove. Thank you both.
Thanks for having us.
Loved it. It was a nice hour. We got a lot accomplished. And Shakina Sims, man, next mayor of Chicago, as far as I'm concerned.
Thanks for having
us. It'd be better. You'll have to move into town, Jake. Where do you live? You live in Downers Grove?
I live in Plainfield, actually. So
okay, well, move to Chicago once
Shakina. I'd like that.
Once Shakina's in. I'd like to thank all of you for listening. I know it was Oscar night, but, you know, that's a boring show. I got to tell you. Adam Phillips, you were genius engineering, as usual. Dan Long produce this thing. Roger Badish did the news. I really do, again, go to chicagohistoryfair.org for all the information you need, and then read me in a couple weeks about the life and times of Shakina Sims and how she became the person who's going to become the mayor of the city of Chicago.